Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello, and welcome to ENN on this beautiful and luxurious Wednesday evening. It's brought to you tonight by our friends at All American Ford. Check them out, allamericanford.net. All American Ford is the largest selection and best prices with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm Sully.
And then I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Daddy Boy! Daddy Boy!
Well, it's been another one of those days here on the Michael K. Show. Not something I expected we'd be doing, but a lot of conversation about coronavirus and its impact. So we'll get you up to date with everything that has happened. For example, the Warriors will play the Nets at an empty Chase Center on Thursday night. That's 10:30 tomorrow. Now, if you're wondering, that is not the televised national game. The national game tomorrow night, I think, is Lakers-Rockets on TNT. Yes, Lakers-Rockets on TNT. But the first NBA game in front of an empty stadium will be at the same time tomorrow. And, of course, you can watch it right here on YES, the Nets at the Warriors. Let's hear from Steve Kerr on how he's coaching his team right now through the situation.
Just trying to do my job. So what we talked about with the players was preparing for the game tomorrow and preparing to go on the road the next day. And if we hear anything otherwise, then obviously that's what we'll do. But we just have to do our best to prepare for our jobs.
Yeah, there's not much else you could do. I mean, this is, a lot of people are saying this is to protect the players. No, it's to protect everybody.
Everybody. Yep.
I mean, they're not looking to just protect the players. They're looking to protect fans from fans.
Right.
Where you can pass the virus along.
Listen, these are happening because in some of the communities in which they've made this decision, there have been bans on gatherings of more than 1,000 people, and some gatherings of more than 250 people. So that's anything. Not just sporting events, but music events, concerts, whatever. So it's not just protecting the players. Like I hear like, oh, well, fans going to really infect the players. No, but they can infect each other. You talk about being 6 feet away from somebody. In some of these arenas, Michael, you're almost in each other's lap.
Yep.
You're sharing the same armrest.
And not only that, think about it like this. First of all, you're sitting so close. Second of all, think about how many people are in the bathrooms, right? How many people are all in the bathrooms, in the building, back to back? And we've talked about how this, apparently this virus can live at least longer than most things can. So someone goes and touches the urinal and wipes the, whatever. It's just people touching the same stuff, 20,000 people constantly. So.
Yeah, they're telling you to wash your hands, right? After every kind of interaction, you touch something that could be contaminated. Think how often you would have to Purell or go wash your hands in an arena. Oh, somebody just touched me. Shook somebody's hands. I touched that seat. I touched that hand railing.
We also really got to be working on as people not touching our faces.
It's so hard to do.
It's impossible.
So hard.
It's and your eyes.
I'm a big face toucher.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of the biggest face touching guys in the biz. Between your mouth and your eyes and everything. Let's hear from David Fizdale, who's on the jump. He's giving some thoughts on what he would do with his team in a situation like this. Of course, he doesn't have one anymore, but you get the idea.
You still got to approach it as an important game for your team to get better. I mean, I think that's the bottom line, especially for Steve. He's got a young crew of guys. He's just trying to develop guys. You prepare them like it's any other game. It will be weird.
Just hearing that, the Knicks actually decided to fire him again. which I thought was strong.
A little unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't actually even try to coach a game there. Hey, one basketball, one NBA note today. I interviewed earlier today, myself and Laura Stiles interviewed Iman Shumpert. He came in to promote his music he's putting out.
Okay.
So he came to Hot 97.
Where's Ebro?
Ebro's in L.A. So he did the show, but he wasn't there for the interviews after the show.
Okay.
And so we talked to Iman Shumpert, and as I was telling Andrew before the show started, it's pretty interesting. It's not, you know, Iman Shumpert had a pretty, you know, whatever, a kind of run-of-the-mill NBA career. Mm-hmm. He was a nice player, right? That's how you describe what he was. But, man, he's sure very closely associated with a lot of big things. We talked about Kenny Atkinson, who he played for in New York with the Knicks and in Brooklyn.
Assistant with the Knicks.
Yeah, and by the way, I asked him specifically because he spoke so highly of him with the Knicks. I was like, well, what exactly did he do? He was the guards coach. So he really worked with them a lot, and he said the guards really took to him. And he said he was, and this is important, I think, to think about for our conversation about the kind of coach he is. He said everyone took to K.A. He kept referring to only as K.A. He said everyone took to K.A. because he was relatable. He understood the way the kids play the game today, and even though it wasn't the way he came up playing, he knew how to talk the language of the players, and he didn't just mean the language in verbiage. He meant actually in terms of the game, the way that they saw the game. And he said he also had an incredible knack for emulating players' games. So he could grab the ball himself because he's a player, and he said he could instantly emulate the way you played basketball and doing demonstrations for you. And he said people just took to him, and then when Iman got picked up by Brooklyn early this season, he said he was obviously excited because he didn't know a lot of people on the Nets who were playing. He knew Kyrie and was excited to be reunited with him again. He only spoke highly of him. He really seemed to feel strongly about him. And he also said about Kyrie, he didn't say anything negative about Kyrie. He said Kyrie is the kind of guy where if you don't get him, like you don't get the kind of dude he is, he's not going to do any work for you to get who he is. He is good with you being – if you don't get him – that's just how it's going to be. He's not going to work for you to get him, which I thought was an interesting sort of understanding maybe of what Kyrie is like. Anyways, the whole video will be up on Hot 97's YouTube tomorrow. And he also told a Kobe story. He told us the story that I'll play it on ENN tomorrow of guarding Kobe during the Linsanity game.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys remember that game well, but Kobe basically was pretty quiet for three quarters and then went off in the fourth. And the Knicks ended up winning anyway.
Right.
But Kobe ended up going for 34. And the way he told the story of what played out between him and Kobe during that game was pretty amazing. Anyways, now from sports back to our emergency coronavirus desk. The Mariners will not play games in Seattle in March. The team will move all of its home games from Seattle after the state of Washington's decision to ban all large group events because of the coronavirus outbreak. The Mariners were scheduled to open the season at Safeco Field with a four-game series against the Rangers March 26th to the 29th, and then host the Twins in a three-game series March 30th to April 1st. They are working on alternate plans.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, that's not going to be the only team. And it doesn't seem like they're canceling spring training games in Arizona or Florida. So, since there doesn't seem to be a big spread of the coronavirus in either state, why not just start the regular season having the teams play their spring training sites?
Yeah. Are we noticing, are warmer places in this country doing better with it than colder?
I'm not sure. That's certainly, Jar from Oz, who is our Australia correspondent, he had a really intriguing tweet. He said that Australia is now going into the winter. He said, so it's going to be a real test case to see if the virus just goes away in cold weather.
I'm looking kind of at a map. I don't know how official it is.
Yeah, I am too.
Sounds like there's 13 cases in Texas, and there are 9 cases in Arizona, with one who actually recovered.
How many in Florida?
Florida.
Florida is 28.
28.
23 in Georgia.
2 deaths in Florida, too, and they all seem to be, you know, kind of in the middle of the state. And I'm also seeing this, I don't know if Andrew's on top of this, that there is a player on Juventus that is tested positive for the coronavirus. So that looks like that may be the first professional sports player that has the virus.
Mm.
Daniel Rugani, R-U-G-A-I-A-N-I. I'm not sure how you pronounce that, but Andrew's left the room, but he has been quarantined.
So the MAC and Big West announced that they're going to play their conference tournaments with restricted attendances. Only credentialed institutional personnel, mm-hmm. student-athlete, family members, credentialed media, television, radio crews, and Tea Party members will be permitted to attend. But, of course, that now has sort of been minimized in terms of its importance, considering we now, though, the entire NCAA tournament will be played without fans in attendance. Yes, the NCAA tournament, they are considering now whether they'll be looking to a smaller venue for the finals, which were supposed to be in Atlanta in the Dome. I mean, what would be the point? You know, I would imagine it's just a waste of money to open a building that big, right?
And it would all, the optics of it would be terrible. I mean, you're not concerned with that, but it would cost a lot of money. And there's a guy, I think his name is Mark Goodman, who covers college basketball. And he said that sources tell him that, you know, it's an ever-evolving thing, and there's a chance that the entire tournament could be canceled.
It's a great point. I mean, the selection shows Sunday, and the first four are next Tuesday. So basically, we have until then. I mean, who knows if they're going to play this thing? We have no idea what our lives are going to be in 2 weeks, guys. No one knows exactly what things are looking like.
Yesterday, we speculated the possibility of playing games with no fans. That became a reality in less than 24 hours.
The city of Tampa tweeted 2 hours ago, "Hello, at this time, WrestleMania is still planned to proceed on schedule. Please contact the WWE with questions about cancellations. The city is currently monitoring the spread of coronavirus and will work with venues as needed." Of course, that's April 5th, so there is a little bit more time.
Len Cannon from a television station in Houston just tweeted out, "The mayor says that all city-related events in March will be canceled or postponed, and the Astros actually do play at home in March."
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
By the way, speaking of the WWE, reportedly, according to Ryan Satin, Rob Gronkowski is finalizing his deal with the WWE.
I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know if you know the answer, if you're even at liberty to what could they be paying him?
Gronk?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the deal, right? So, listen, he doesn't know how to wrestle.
Right.
So the question is he literally going to report to their performance center in Florida and fully train to become a wrestler? Or is this like a WrestleMania, appear on SmackDown two or three times and then have a match at WrestleMania?
I don't know.
If his plan is just to show up on SmackDown a couple times and they train him enough to have some sort of tag match at WrestleMania, then my guess is you're looking at like $500,000. But if it's to fully join the WWE, which I see as impossible, the reason I feel strongly about this, besides the fact that I have concerns about him on the microphone, I just have never thought he's as charismatic as other people do.
Hey, he's just goofy. He's not charismatic.
Yeah, I don't think he's charismatic. I 100% think he's goofy. And I don't think he could grab a mic and ever command respect. The only other problem I have besides that, Michael, is why did he stop playing football in the first place?
I'd love to know. I mean, other than his body's banged up.
But you said it, right? That's the reason he's given us?
Yeah.
Your body's banged up. So you want to go to the single hardest physical activity you could possibly choose?
Well, it just comes down to, is it worth it? You do that physical activity, make a ton of money.
No, that's what I'm saying. For a month, okay. Yeah. But this can't be long term. He couldn't be going on the road to wrestle. I mean, this would require so much work from him and then so much wear and tear on his body. I assume this is a run for WrestleMania, and I assume he'll make around $500,000.
It wouldn't be the first time we've seen Didn't Lawrence Taylor? Was that WrestleMania?
Lawrence Taylor headlined WrestleMania against Bam Bam Bigelow. Yeah. So anything's possible.
Now, this is just out there, but like Pierre LeBrun used to work for us at ESPN, now up at TSN, says it should surprise no one, but a source also suggested to me it is a possibility the NHL could delay / push back its season. Not saying it will necessarily happen, just reporting that it's a possibility. A lot of different conversations happening right now.
Those narratives I don't get. Push back to what? There's no goal line here. There's no end zone.
That's the thing.
We don't know what we're aiming at.
Well,
is it going to be done by May? Okay, then push it back. Well, what if it goes to August?
Well, I think that's been the conversation, is trying to talk to people to see, all right, is there an end here? Like, is it like, can they find out that it's like other viruses, that by the time we get to May or June, it'll disappear like influenza? If they can get that, if they can get to that point, maybe they'll say, listen, we'll just, instead of playing in front of nobody and shifting games around, maybe we'll just delay. I mean, baseball's probably having the same conversation, Michael. If they can get in the next couple of weeks confirmation that
there's
this
15 days to the opening day.
All right. So let's say within the next 15 days, baseball gets confirmation that this is going to settle down somewhere in the middle of May.
They could delay it, but I don't think they're going to get that confirmation.
Right, but nobody knows. But what I think Pierre is saying is these are the conversations that are happening right now. Like, there's a lot that's on the table. You've got to be prepared for everything. You don't have the luxury to play it day by day. You've got to now say, okay, if we find out that they're going to have a vaccination in June, what are we going to do? If we find out that this thing is going to go through the entire length of the summer, what are we going to do? If you're really good at what you do, Michael, you've got to prepare for every possible scenario here, because it's ever changing. So I think that's what I get from that report, is if they get some sort of confirmation that this can settle down by the summer, wouldn't it make sense to delay rather than play a bunch of games with no fans, or even putting their players at the risk of playing and participating in a sport, especially with all the interaction, if they can wait a month and then let it go by?
I think the interesting thing to do, and this would be on leadership of our country to figure out, like, can we make a really committed effort to shutting basically everything down for 2 weeks? Is that even possible? And then just see.
What Italy did.
Right. Like, let's just see. If 2 weeks of a basic shutdown, meaning the only people going out are essential people, medical services, police, etc., everyone else is staying home from their jobs, kids are taking off school, the school year is going to be pushed 2 weeks later into the summer. If we shut everything down for 2 weeks, I know there'd be a huge financial hit on the country, of course, but in the long run, could that be what ends this and really stops the spread?
Think if you did that, think of how much the numbers would then go down.
Now, but remember, the scary part we have to realize is these numbers are going to go up before they go down.
Right.
So you do it way up, especially when we have enough testing.
Right. So we don't have enough testing. You look at a place like New Rochelle, right, which is seen as like a hot zone.
Right.
And the numbers are going to keep going up every day until they stop. Now, my guess right now is everyone has kind of stopped, getting near each other. People are quarantining in New Rochelle. It'll be interesting for us to hear from some people from up there. But people in New Rochelle are probably protecting themselves, and the spread has probably stopped. But that number is still going to go up as the tests increase.
Right.
And before it then starts to turn. So I wonder, it's going to be really interesting to hear what Trump says tonight. But, like, I would have to imagine if we're seeing things like this, there has to be a plan that starts getting in place of where we stop doing things for a couple of weeks. Otherwise, you're right, Michael, there's no end in sight. If we don't force an end to this, how is there ever going to be one?
Well, I mean, maybe this is the grand plan, right? Like, if we start limiting people going to sporting events and concerts, we start slowly taking things away, it'll be much easier to just completely shut everything down for 2 weeks. If you're already not going out to entertain, not going to the movies, you're not going to sporting events, you're not going to concerts.
But I got news for you. Bad news for religious people. How is church and synagogue happening?
How's Broadway happening?
Right. But I'm sure they've been affected. So in 2-3 weeks of that, can you just say, well, now it's like taking the kickoff away in football. You know, you made the rules to the point where there's barely any returns anyway, so they can just get rid of it. Nobody would notice. If you keep taking things away from us, you get to the point where it's like, listen, if we shut it down for 2 weeks, what'll be the difference? I've got nowhere to go anyway.
I just wonder of all the things that change over this period, like sort of like we talked about with reporters not being in the locker room. I wonder, though, Michael, like other jobs that we could find out are sort of unnecessary.
Yeah, what's going to be the new normal?
You know, when you get used to it, if it lasts for months and a company turns around and is like, we didn't need any of those employees. We had to, you know, I noticed that Steve and John weren't here, but there were 17 other employees we really didn't need.
What can happen here, right? We all have access to do the shows from home. We have that technology. When does that happen?
But the thing is that our job, basically, everyone still has to do their job. Someone needs to run the board.
Let's say the three of us stayed home and did our job from home. Well, RJ still has to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Has to operate the board. I guess Andrew could do what he does at home, I think.
Yeah, Andrew could work
RJ
from home.
But
I guess what Peter's saying is the people that are said, you know, go home and then you're not getting paid because you're staying at home.
Right.
Where our whole company is unnecessary during this crisis. We're going to shut down.
I mean, look how many people are there in the Yes. Show the Yes studio again. Count those people up. I mean, was there six people? One, two, three, four, five, six. Six people? No, we could knock that down to one.
No.
Yeah, and then that's what they're going to say. That's what they're going to say. And they'll go, RJ. I mean, if Andrew doesn't have to be there, can't RJ basically just produce the whole show?
And RJ said there's three more people you didn't count that were in the back. There's nine people in there.
There was nine?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a four-hour television spectacular.
They'll probably have...
Extravaganza, even.
Anyways, it's a scary thought. I hope none of this stuff happens, but I guess we'll see. We'll see. Steeler, this is exciting. If there's a football season, Don, maybe one of the best-sounding Hall of Fame games of all time, the Steelers and the Cowboys.
I mean, that's gorgeous.
I mean, granted, it's a Hall of Fame game, and everyone forgets to even watch it, but...
But they won't forget to watch this. At least it's intriguing.
And when you say the words Hall of Fame, Steelers and Cowboys...
And they've got a few Hall of Famers in their history, the two.
That's beautiful.
This isn't, you know, Texans-Jaguars.
No. Did you see on Inside the NBA last night, Dwayne Wade said he was not going to attend Saturday's state title game between his son's school, Sierra Canyon... And LeBron James' son and his school. He's not going because his son is not playing. He said, my son isn't playing, and I don't want to do nothing to the coach. I won't be there, but I'll be rooting for the kids. Zaire Wade was injured earlier in the season. He's averaging 4.3 points per game. Seems a little weird, though, no?
He's not playing.
Yeah.
But I mean, not playing, like he's just not getting a lot of PT?
Maybe he's still hurt.
But it said he was hurt earlier in the season, and he's averaged 4.3 points per game.
A lot. I'd go and watch my son sit on the bench.
The problem is the star of the team is a five-star prospect. Get this. Also named Zaire.
Really?
Zaire Williams is the five-star prospect who I think is going to Kentucky next year. Who is really the star of this team.
Zaire.
Anyways, we have a very big guest next with a lot of information that we need about the A-10 tournament and what's happening in college basketball. That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening.
Great job by Peter. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. The guest is Bernadette McGlade, the commissioner of the Atlantic 10. Their tournament going on right now. At Barclays Center, is there thought about not allowing fans in for the remainder of the tournament? We'll talk to her about it and some of the discussions going on in college basketball with the NCAA saying March Madness will play in front of empty seats. Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes in 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.